Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today, because you know what it is? It's the last Monday of the month, and that means the weather guys are by to talk with you about all kinds of things relating to, well, snow. We can talk about sparkling snow today. We can talk about winter sunshine on your face. We can talk about geoengineering. And, of course, we can talk about Sarah Jacobs, because, you know, when the weather starts to turn a little bit, and I'm you know, in the summertime, if it's going to rain, I always go by Sarah's office because her elbow starts to ache just before a rain.
I am wise in so many ways. What can I say?
She really is, and she's really smart because she knows how to talk to you about your gift. Here during our winter membership drive, your gift of any amount makes a big difference, doesn't it?
It so does. And that's because listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. And that means that your support really funds the Larry Mueller Show, as well as all the other WPR shows that you count on. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Last hour, we heard from 28 folks.
So that's woohoo! Pretty,
yeah, the goal was 20. This time, our goal is 25, and we already have one. Sorry,
all right.
Your elbow.
I knew it. I knew it was happening.
we've
got great listeners we can always count on.
Yeah, of course. We have a special opportunity, though.
Tell me.
Did you know all about it? No, you didn't. I bet you didn't. When you make your gift of any amount, the Merle Gunther Memorial Fund has put a generous contribution for every donation. If it's $10, if it's $50, if it's $100, they're going to put $100 extra in. So if you give $50, it turns into 150, if I'm not mistaken.
That's incredible. And it's such a great way to encourage you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio, because it really increases the impact of your gift. And that's when you donate right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
A large slice of funding for our programs, the biggest slice, is listener support. So while all of our funding sources, we have a state and federal government, we've got businesses, all very important, but your contribution makes a huge difference. I think WPR is the amazing and varied service it is, thanks to your support. So keep us independent. Keep bringing those high-quality programs on the air. And you do it when you give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And maybe you're not sure, when do I know if it's the right time to donate to WPR? Well, you're listening right now during our winter member drive. And whether you tune in for one favorite program like the Larry Mueller Show, or you check in repeatedly throughout the day or week, you've probably made a habit of listening.
So now's the time to make a habit of giving. Listener support, again, it's the largest source of funding for our programs. And when you give, you make the programs and services you've come to rely on possible. And it's really easy to donate. I did it again last week, and because I wanted that knit hat.
It is wonderful.
I put it in. Took me only a couple of minutes. You might want to start with a $20 a month gift, and then we'll send you a knit hat, too. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
Where do you want to go for your next vacation?
I would go to New York City and see some Broadway shows.
I would go to the UP to ski.
Someplace warm. I would take a friend of mine and we'd just go chill out on the beach.
Give any amount and you could win a $500 travel agency gift card for your next adventure. 5 winners will be drawn. Sustainers, you are automatically entered. Find out all the details at WPR.org/drawing. Make your gift of any amount now to be automatically entered. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Larry Mueller here with Sarah Jacobs. Your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. and your contribution might be $10 a month, might be $100 a month, might be $200 a month, but whatever the amount, we appreciate it and we count on your gift.
And don't worry, giving to WPR is super easy. It just takes a few minutes of your time and a gift of any amount, again, maybe $10 or $100 a month.
That donation comes back to you every day in the form of great programs, so show your support right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 and give as generously as you can, of course.
Yes, please do. And don't forget, this hour we've got that wonderful challenge grant. WPR will receive an additional, I'm getting so tripped up, I'm so excited about it. We will receive an additional $100 when you donate. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and then you can increase the impact of your support.
Maybe I should have waited till today to do it instead of doing it last week.
Or you could donate again, Larry, really.
I could donate again, and maybe, you know, any amount, I could throw
$100
in there and get it matched.
Yeah.
Why not? Well, one thing that I won't be able to get, but as you listen in here, you will be able to have a chance. In fact, you'll have five chances to win a $500 travel agency gift card. That's an added bonus for supporting the programs you love. You don't have to contribute. You can see WPR.org/drawing for details. But better yet, you're automatically entered when you give any amount right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And if you're a sustainer, making ongoing monthly payments, you're automatically entered.
And if you're not yet a sustainer, become one right now. It's easy to set up monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And it's a really great way to provide ongoing, reliable support for the programs that you love.
And you'll come back and see us again, won't you?
I sure will. If my elbow's doing okay, if I'm up to it.
Well, I tell you what, because we've got a Wisconsin Public Radio a contributor with us in the studio right as we speak. Steve Ackerman. John Martin is not with us yet, but he's coming, isn't he, Steve?
He is coming, and it is an honor to be in the same room as Sarah's weather forecasting elbow.
Just give her a call.
Her a call. You don't need to call John. Never call me.
So how's your elbow, Sarah, today?
Right. What's it going to be?
Well, you know what I you know, when I think about Sarah's elbow, I also think about how nice winter can be. I don't talk to her much about her elbow during the winter because, well, the snow, I don't know if it really gets the, I'm not so sure.
As precipitation.
But there's nothing like being outside on a sunny winter day. You get the sun feels so good.
The apricity of Sunday's weather was so wonderful, it made me think of my tulips.
And somebody might say, apricity.
Apricity, yes.
Is that what it's called?
That is what it's called, the warmth and of the sun on a winter day. It's sort of like a word that nobody uses, but there's a teacher who's trying to get new words into the vocabulary, and so he's bringing this back.
Well,
it's kind of a cool word. Apricity?
Yeah, apricity, it's, what is it called? A-P-R-I-C-I-T-Y.
C-I-T-Y.
Like city at the end.
It's not as cool as grapple, but it's pretty good.
Well, you know, maybe part of it is the fact that it seems to me anyway, we just don't get as many sunny days in the wintertime. Or am I completely wrong?
We do, but I don't think we have many days like we just had on Sunday, right? I mean, it was a lot of snow on the ground, 40-degree type temperature, really bright and sunny, and it feels really good to get out and go for a walk.
Yeah.
As opposed to that, minus 19 weather.
I did my little 3 miles around the neighborhood and really, really, really liked it. But it does feel better.
It does feel better. But I took a nap.
Well, I went to the basketball game. I did my run. I washed my clothes. I didn't take any naps, though.
Yeah, it's not so bad to take a nap.
Well,
in the sun, of course.
We've had a lot. By the way, if you'd like to join in here, I don't have to ask all the questions here for Steve Ackerman. You can ask some, too. Just give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. I've had a weather question, or maybe you've got a weather experience to share. We always love that. And if you've got a weather photo, maybe along with a question, send that in, too. You can go to WPR.org /Larry and post a photo. We always love to see those photos as we go along. And again, call us 800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. And certainly, you know, thinking about snow, we've had a lot of it around the state. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that snow looks almost like it's sparkling, doesn't it? I mean, glistening.
Yeah, it just kind of sort of glistens. It's beautiful when you get those kind of crisp days. It can't be too warm because then the surface of the snow begins to melt. But on those days, usually following a nice soft snowfall, the snow crystals, a lot of them are flat, shaped like a six-sided plate. And then they just settle on the surface and they can act like tiny mirrors. So just like a body of water or a clear sheet of ice can reflect energy and be like a mirror, these little crystals will just sit on the surface. And when the sun comes down on a sunny day and hits one of these crystals, if you're at the right angle, defined by Snell's law, the angle of reflection equals the angle of incidence, you'll see the little reflection of the sun on that ice crystal. And the ice crystal has to be right in the right orientation as well. And so you'll see it, like the field will sparkle.
Yeah.
And then as you walk, the sparkling will change because you'll be seeing the reflection off of different ice crystals.
That is that's very cool. So it's the flat.
It's the flat.
And then the orientation.
Just the right orientation. They have to be relatively flat, right? If they're vertical, then you won't see it.
And then, there's billions of snowflakes out
there. And there's billions of them, so you got to see it at the right angle. And if you look close, sometimes the sun's ray will come in and reflect off the bottom of the ice crystal instead of the top.
Oh,
and
what so happens then?
You'll get a separation of colors, just like you do in a rainbow.
Oh.
So sometimes the glistening, you can see reds and oranges in it as well if you look carefully.
I am going to have to remember that.
It is really cool once you start looking.
Smarter than heck.
Right.
When I'm out, but of course I have to drag somebody along with me.
You got to be right in your point, but it's worth it, right? A little... It's like seeing the Northern Lights, right? You always got to show somebody else.
You have to show somebody else.
No saving it for yourself. That's
no
just
saving it.
Selfish.
Yeah, I was trying to think of that. I was remembering actually what was going on in my head. I was thinking about waking up one morning when I was on a fishing trip, and it was like 3 a.m, and I thought, oh, I had to go to the bathroom. So then I walked outside. And by the lake, and here's the Aurora Borealis, Northern Lights. And it's 3 a.m, and I'm thinking, do I want to wake everybody up? Because there were like 10 of us.
Yeah, the answer is yes.
The answer was yes.
The answer was yes.
And not if a you single did it, person.
You probably had 9 people really angry at you.
Not a single person complained about being
woken up.
I mean, the first 5 seconds they were, but then I said, got to get out here and take a look, because it was really spectacular.
It's an amazing thing to see. And down here, you know, at our latitude, we don't get that many options. And even further north, where it occurs a lot.
Well, that's where I happened to be. I was a lot further north. I was practically to the top of the state. So,
That helps.
Yeah, that helps a lot. Well, I'm thinking about temperatures here. Has this been the weirdest? Maybe it's not weird at all. But, I mean, we had some really cold below zero kinds of weather, and then here we were yesterday.
Almost in the 40s, or in the
40s. Yeah, I'm just wearing some light little jacket, and no gloves or anything.
It's pretty normal type winter the last month or so. You know, the average temperature is a little bit above normal. A lot of that is driven by the nighttime minimums were 2 or 3 degrees over most of the state warmer than normal. So it's been a pretty similar winter that we've had climatologically for the last 30 years or so.
But the change from, you know,
from the cold to the warm and now, right.
Yeah. And then back to the cold is apparently what we're going to get.
Yeah. Welcome to winter in Wisconsin.
Welcome to winter in Wisconsin. Welcome to Sarah Jacobs. She's got the best smile. I wish we could show that on the radio. She got a great winning smile, and if you could see her smile, you would be ready to run right to the phone or reach in your pocket and pull out your phone and make a contribution, because we're in our winter member drive. And in fact, it's the last day of the drive, and listener donations, of course, the largest source of funding for our WPR programs. If you've been meaning to give, guess what? Now's the time. The drive ends at 7 o'clock today. And that means you should go right now to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution.
And I'll say there are a few reasons I'm smiling right now. One is the gift of being able to see the experts at work here on the Larry Mueller Show. It's just incredible to see the thought and intention and just joy that goes into the show. You feel it as a listener, and I have to say experiencing it firsthand is such a gift. And we have another gift right now. We have a great opportunity from the Merle M. Gunther Memorial Fund, remembering a generous listener and avid Badger fan. They'll donate an additional $100 when you give this hour. You can increase the impact of your support super easily when you go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You might not have a life coach or a personal trainer, or I don't know if you've got Steve Ackerman on your fast dial on your phone or not, or your speed dial, I should say. That's okay. When you listen to the Ideas Network, you get great advice. You don't need to have Steve on your speed dial. You can just call right now and ask him a question. And I tell you what, that's worth some money. A lot of people have said, man, that's valuable. That's valuable information on this program. And what's the cost to you? Well, you just pick. You choose. The Ideas Network, it's your source for great information, helpful information. You can support it right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And in fact, Molly in Appleton did so exactly for that reason. She said, Larry makes lunchtime learning time. I laugh, I get ideas, and I enjoy hearing and calling into the fantastic guests. Thanks so much, Molly, for your support. And how about you? Why don't you join Molly? And maybe when you do so, remember, it's super easy to support Wisconsin Public Radio. And really, the easiest way is to become a sustainer. And that's because you'll make ongoing monthly gifts from your bank account or your credit card or your debit card.
Yeah, some people give $10 a month. Many give $15 or $20 bucks a month. Pick the amount that works for you and become a sustainer now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, then sit back and enjoy the ease and convenience of supporting the programs you value.
We have a cozy new thank you gift this drive. It's the WPR knit hat. Show off your support through our long Wisconsin winters with this white and navy cap featuring gold stripes and a burgundy palm. It's made in Wisconsin, and it'll be your new cold weather essential. Ask for yours when you give $20 a month or a one-time gift of $240 right now. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Sarah Jacobs. Listener support, the biggest source of funding for our programs. And that's why your support during our winter member drive is so important. Your gift might be $10 a month. It could be $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And don't forget, we've got that special opportunity right now. It's a great time to donate because the Merle M. Gunther Memorial Fund, remembering a generous listener, will add an extra $100 to every gift this hour. It's their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. So go ahead, boost the impact of your contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We keep saying it, but it's true. At WPR, you get to choose how much you give. Maybe any amount makes a difference, to be perfectly honest.
Indeed.
I was going to say maybe 10 or 20 bucks a month or whatever, but any amount makes a difference. The same amount you pay for Netflix, maybe, or cable?
Or maybe coffee, which, like WPR, is probably something you look forward to every day. Or maybe it's that cup of tea. Whatever's part of your ritual, WPR probably also is. So go ahead, give now. You pick the amount, and your gift makes such a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And in case you forgot what Sarah just told you a minute ago or 2 minutes ago, this hour, WPR will receive an additional $100 from the Merle Gunther Memorial Fund when you donate. It's a great time to do it. Even a $50 contribution turns into $150 from your point of view at WPR.org. That's the place to go, WPR.org, or phone 888 202-2552 and increase the impact of your support.
And you can also show your support for Wisconsin Public Radio by making a donation, but then you can also show your support by asking for the new WPR hat. We are really excited about this. Our listeners and donors are really excited. It's a great cap. It's navy and knit, and it's both stylish and cozy, and it's yours when you give $20 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts, thanks very much for that. This might be the day to increase your support of the programs that you've come to enjoy. Maybe you were giving $19 a month, and you could say, well, if I gave $20, I'd get the knit hat, because that'd be $240. So why not do that? Or maybe you're there and you want to say, well, I wouldn't mind giving a little extra. Well, why not do it right now? Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. We're taking a look at weather and climate on the program today. Larry Mueller here. It's always great to have John Martin and Steve Ackerman stop by. Steve's with us right now. John will be coming by long about noon, if I'm not mistaken. He's teaching a class, so he's got that responsibility to take care of before he comes and visits with us. But Steve's here, and he can answer just as many questions as John can. So we'll continue with Steve. Right now, you can join in at 1-800-642-1234. Email at ideas@wpr.org. And let's take a call. Mark in Green Bay, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Oh, hi. Thanks for the opportunity to ask a question.
Sure.
My aunt's uncle, William Peer, was a professor of agronomy at the University of Iowa at Ames, and they put a quarter acre of corn. They recreated a field, planted a quarter acre of corn on industrial scales to see what the weight equivalent of the dew that settled out on a crop would be. And they found in a really significant dew event, they could get as much of a quarter inch of rain equivalent per night with the dew settling out on it. Well, that got me wondering, what happens to the atmosphere-water interface? Do you need something for the dew to nucleate on, or can it be absorbed right into the water?
So you do need something to nucleate on in general, like a blade of grass. But once the dewdrop forms, then the water in the atmosphere, the water molecules and the gases form, can condense onto that liquid droplet. So you could get dew on a lake, you know, settling right on the lake right away because you have that body of water for it, for the molecules to jump onto. Of course, you wouldn't see it, but that's interesting. They got that much? Because I would think with the cornfield, you know, you have two things going on with getting a lot of dew. One is you want the temperature and the dew point to be close to one another and the dew point high. And so at nighttime, when the temperature drops, you hit the dew point quickly, and then you have all night to form dew as the temperature continues to decrease. But I would think in a cornfield, corn pulls a lot of water out of the ground and transpires it. So you're almost adding water from below ground to the air just above, with which you can then form dew on the plant.
I'm sure they took that variability into consideration. I thought it was a pretty clever setup, though, that he had to put it on scales to see the added weight of the dew going in on it.
Yeah, that is pretty clever.
Yeah.
That's a hard thing to measure.
That's cool, Bert. Yeah. Thanks a lot for calling.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Appreciate the call. You can join in, too, 800-642-1234. A listener sent us these photos. You got the photo thing in front of you there? Oh, we don't have the photo thing. Well, let me describe what the listener has in front of you. It's a field of snow, and it looks like there's 100 snowballs. And he's wondering, how did those snowballs get there? There's no tracks out there.
Yeah, they're rollers. And
rollers.
It is something I have been so wanting to see. And so it's just like, you know, you got a field, it's sticky snow, the kind of snow you would use to make a snowman or a snow fort. And then you have a strong wind blow on it. And then it'll pick up some of the snow and start to roll it. and then it'll roll up, like look like a bale of hay, just like you would push the snow as you were making a snowman.
Yeah. That is so cool.
They are so cool. I have so wanted to see them, and just never have.
Well, now you can see
them. Now I can see the picture, but it's just not the same.
You can see the picture, but not in person. Oh, yeah, man. Well, let's take
those
another.
Are really amazing.
Yeah, that's really cool. I didn't get the name of the listener, but thanks.
Yeah, you see them in the open field, so when they occur, they're easy to see because you want that strong, sustained wind to build them up and push them along. And you know, I've made snowmen, right? You know what it takes to push that snow, and so
and it
it's
gets heavy.
Be a pretty strong wind, right?
Yeah, it gets heavy after pretty quick order too.
Yeah,
there you go. Well, by the way, if you have a weather photo. Please feel free to send it in. Go to WPR.org/Larry. Just WPR.org. Let's see. The Ideas Network at WPR.org. Is that what it is? Jane Rotunda's just a little shaking her head at me because she said, well, why don't you ever remember what you're supposed to say? I'll get it right. And obviously, we had somebody that did get it right. We'll have that right in just a second. Kim from Oregon says, she has an ongoing disagreement with her husband about whether the huge difference in temperatures from day to day, from one day to the next, are caused by climate change. These can be differences of 20 to 25 degrees in 24 hours. He says that's not unusual. What do you think?
Yeah, that's not unusual, but I wouldn't do it with climate. It would be weather. So the weather systems would be moving in, and you can get big drops of 20 degrees during the even during the day, you can get big drops like that between day and night. But as a weather system moves through, and we've seen it recently, you know, where it'll be in the 40s, and then all of a sudden it's in the single digits the next day.
Ideas at WPR.org. That's a place to send your photos. You can also send a question to ideas at WPR.org as well. We don't mind that either. Oh, man. Dave in La Crosse, Wisconsin has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Dave.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. A few years ago, there was a discussion about climate change possibly changing the course of the Gulf Stream so that it would not be bringing warm water up. There was a downflow from the north, and that possibly this could change the climate of Northern Europe and England pretty drastically. Is that still under discussion?
Yeah, it's still under discussion. And what's happening here is that the physics behind it, if you will, is that as the ice sheets around Greenland in particular melt, the fresh water comes onto the lake, and the Gulf Stream, which is going up around Greenland, the fresh water is less dense than the salt water, so it floats on the top. And then that changes the Gulf Stream by making it dive down deeper. And so it changes the whole ocean circulations. And again, the importance of the ocean circulations are that as a planet, we get more energy from the sun in the tropical regions than we do in the polar regions. And so the atmosphere and the ocean circulation patterns are all about moving energy out of the tropics and getting it to both poles. And the ocean circulation does that. It just so happens I was reading an article over the weekend where they're now looking at the Bering Sea, so just north of Atlantic, Alaska, where they're seeing perhaps the same thing happen. That is, that ice breaks up. It's changing the oceanic circulation patterns in that part of the world that may also change the energy transport done by the oceans. So it's still pretty intense research. As you might imagine, it's pretty hard to get those observations because we can't just sit out there and live and make much. You need to get them from ships or from satellites and then model theories.
So there you go, Dave. Does that help?
Yeah, thanks
a lot for calling. You mentioned the poles. Antarctica set a record for the highest temperature ever recorded. It was 65 degrees Fahrenheit at an Argentinian research base located at the most northern tip.
And then 3 days later, it was almost 70, 69.5, I think.
Oh!
So that's it's interesting. I went and read some stuff on that, too, because that's like, wow, that's a big change of when you change a record of by 3 or 4 degrees, that's a lot of a big change. Usually when you're changing a maximum temperature, it's a couple of tenths of degrees or so. And so what may have contributed to this as well is what we call downslope winds. So you have a normal warming in general. But then as air, and people who live in the Front Range see this a lot, as air descends down a mountain range,
yeah,
it gets compressed and heats up. And so that might be also part of the reason why they had the record temperature in those areas.
So climate change?
Climate change is going to be part of it, because as you warm the climate up, the maximums, everything kind of gets shifted to the right. And so your maximums will be increasing, and you won't be breaking very many minimum temperatures. And we certainly see that over the last 30, 40 years, not that long, maybe the last 10 years. We're not setting record cold temperatures anymore. We just don't do it,
no,
because everything's shifted to the right, to the warmer climate.
Hmm. Well, here's an email from Kathy. She wanted to ask if there was some sort of website, and this goes back to what I was talking about earlier here, a website or email service she could use to be alerted about when there might be the northern, the chance to see the northern lights in Wisconsin, and there is one.
There is one. I think it's called spaceweather.com. I think you can go to that website, and then there's an alert system to sign up for.
Yeah, spaceweather.com, and you're right. You get a warning.
You'll get a warning that there's a probability to see it in your area. And if that's not the site, if you just Google Northern Lights, alarm or something like that, they'll probably come up with some links to do that.
Yeah, that is really, really cool. You can join in, too, by the way. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us at ideas@WPR.org. Love to hear from you as we talk weather. Steve Ackerman with us right now. John Martin is soon to join us. But I am happy to report that Sarah Jacobs just strolled right back into the studio as though nothing happened.
And
she's got a big smile on her face once again. Her elbow doesn't hurt. And so there's no rain coming in the next few days. But she's here to help me talk with you about our winter member drive. It's really your support, really, just to all seriousness, very, very important. It powers the programs that keep you in the know and entertained.
And that's really how WPR works. The people who use it are the largest source of funding for it. You've been meaning to give. I know you have. So do it now. On this last day of the drive, help us finish strong at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And our special opportunity is in place still right now. It's a great time to donate because the Merle Gunther Memorial Fund folks are providing an extra $100 to every gift this hour. I wonder if you gave $50 and then you called back again during the hour and gave another $50, would they still get $100 for each one?
We would. We would, indeed.
Ooh, yeah. I don't want to put any ideas in anybody's head, but once is enough. If you could do it once, that would be just great. $50, $100, $200, become a sustainer. No matter what you do, there's going to be an extra $100 put toward your contribution. And it really is their way of inspiring people like you to support the programs that you've come to love here. So boost the impact of your contribution right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And since this is the last day of the drive, I'm going to wax poetic about Larry for just a minute here. When I think of WPR, I think of a place that feels like home while always challenging me to grow. And I can think of no better example of that than the Larry Miller Show. Larry's been on our air for over 50 years, which is hard to think about, just all that he has walked us through. He's spoken with countless guests, learned so much himself, shared so much knowledge, and yet he and the team are always trying new things and exploring new ideas, guiding us through both the new and the familiar, and inviting us into the conversation. And your involvement as a listener makes a difference beyond this show, and that's because WPR is listener-supported. That means that when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many more hours of the Larry Miller Show and all the great programs you enjoy on WPR possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take a few minutes right now and make your gift.
It's really a privilege to be able to be on the air every day and to be able to talk to people. And when I contribute, I always think, well, I got more than I'm paying for on this one. I'm coming out on the good side. I hope that's the way for you, too, when you make your contribution, that you feel good about it and you're actually getting more than you pay for. And, you know, maybe you say, well, you know what, that might be worth a couple bucks a day to support the programs that I love. What do you think?
It's really hard to buy much for $2, but Wisconsin Public Radio, when you donate that, $2 a day makes a lot of news, talk, and music all possible. And that works out to about $60 a month. And go ahead, maybe $2 a day is the right amount for you. You can make that gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, I figured it was important for me to become a sustaining member because I needed to give back. I really enjoy the programs here. I get to hear it every day, and I figured there's buy-in. When I'm a sustainer, I enjoy driving to work, leaving work, being at home, even going to bed listening to WPR. Most media that you hear now, most programs don't have that objectivity that WPR offers. I enjoy all the shows, and I figure you gotta let your money talk. I'm Eben from Appleton, Wisconsin. I encourage you to join me in sustaining Wisconsin Public Radio.
Thanks, Eben. It's really great to have you talking about WPR. And he was saying the thing to do is to go to WPR.org, or you can phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. Larry Mueller with Sarah Jacobs, your support during our drive makes the programs you rely on possible, and your gift might be $10 or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And you can continue to make a difference after you've made your donation to WPR. You can make your gift go even further by telling your friends and your family.
And whether you use social media, you can call them up, you can mention it when you see them, just letting your friends and family know that you support WPR will help plant that idea in their minds. So make your gift at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and then let your friends know how good it feels when you support the station that you enjoy every day.
And don't forget, this hour we will receive an additional $100 for every donation made. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and increase the impact of your support.
Your gift is really powerful. It makes a big difference. I want to thank you so much if you've already contributed. If you haven't, why not do it right now? Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. Taking a look at weather and climate today with our weather guys, Steve Ackerman with me now. John Martin will be joining us. They're both from the Department of Atmospheric and Oceanic Sciences at UW-Madison. They are professors. You can call us at 800-642-1234, email at ideas@wpr.org. And let's take another call. Phil in Marquette, Iowa. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, thanks for taking the call. I had a question about the answer to the dew and the corn transpiration. We're having these record flash flood, like 100-year events every 5 years in northeast Iowa, southwest Wisconsin.
Yep.
And is it maybe because there's so much more cornfields and now there's like all these animal confinements that are putting particles in the air to create the droplets? Is anybody doing research on why these big flash floods?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I know people have done research by looking at like the relative humidity in the atmosphere associated with cornfields. And it's clear that the corn is increasing. And so as air moves northward up the corn belt, you can see its moisture content increase. So it's an interesting part to try and tease out whether or not that has led to more precipitation. Because the other part of this is you just can't add water to the atmosphere in order to get precipitation. You need dynamics to go with it, to lift that air up to get the clouds to form and the rain to form. And I don't know anybody who's looking at that case, that situation.
Yeah. You know, one of the issues now is that our water tables are so high.
Yeah,
the groundwater tables are so high, there's no place for the water to go.
To go, right, yeah. So I think just even if it wasn't happening, we get a heavy rainfall. Or, yeah, in southern Wisconsin, northern Wisconsin even more, there's a lot of snow around. And soil moisture being high, if that melts quickly, then... It's going to be flooding.
There's no place for it to go.
There's no place for it to go. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Phil. Appreciate it. Joe in Fitchburg, your turn. Hi, Joe.
Hi. Just had a weather phenomenon a couple weeks ago on a cold morning going Highway 12 at the Baraboo Bluffs. On the Sauk City side, it was car set 2 degrees. By the time I got over the top, and all the trees were frosty. And by the time I got over the top of the bluff towards Baraboo, it was like 22 degrees. There was no frost, and it just kept getting warmer. So I thought that was kind of interesting. I'd never noticed that before.
Wow. You know, I have had a lot of fun with the temperature display on our car as well. The one I'm thinking of is we were driving towards Lake Michigan. In the summertime, and so I was just watching it, looking for where do you have that lake breeze, where all of a sudden you get this really cool weather in. It's really fun. I'm glad you're doing that. I don't have an answer for why that happened, but
well, you know, if you spend any time in the Duluth Superior area, you know the difference between the temperature in Duluth versus Superior, and here they are right next to each other. I mean, Duluth's kind of up on the it's up on a hill. And they're kind of looking down on Superior. So in the summertime, it's always nicer, well, I should say cooler, let's put it that way, in Duluth. I've been there in the summertime, and then you drive down to Superior, and it's almost like a heat wave compared to Duluth.
Yeah, and we see it, you know, where we live. We live on the shoreline of Lake Mendota, and it's nice and cool, and you get the car and then you drive in town a little bit or just outside the city, and all of a sudden it's a lot warmer.
Absolutely.
And they're pretty accurate, car thermometers.
Those car thermometers are?
Yeah, they're getting pretty accurate. Because you got to be conscious of where you are. So if you're sitting on a parking lot, you know, you're getting a lot of heat from the parking lot, so you're not measuring the air temperature directly.
So how do you know, I'm asking you a question you may not know the answer to, but how do they set the, what kind of, they don't have a mercury thermometer in your car.
No, they probably have a thermocouple.
A thermocouple.
So an electrical type thermometer.
Okay, and it's...
Yeah, so I don't know if that's right, but that's a good answer, I think.
Yeah, it's got to be outside the
car. It's got to be outside
the
car.
And away from,
or inside
the motor.
It has to be away from the motor, right, because you don't want to get the heat from the motor as well. But I don't know where they place them.
I'm going to have to ask Jim Ward that question.
Yeah, that's a good
question.
The next
time he's on the air. Nigel O'Shea, our engineer today, by the way. Remind me, Nigel, ask that question again when Jim Ward's on next time.
That's a good question.
That's a good one. Or maybe somebody else knows. If you know, just give a call at 800-642-1234. Thanks again, Joe. What about Dan in Oregon? What's on your mind?
Hello.
Hi, Dan.
Hello.
Hello, Dan. What can we do for you?
Hi. I'm watching the weather last night. We're flying out Wednesday. And I think this was the first time I saw the European model applied to Midwestern weather. And my question is, they said if it takes a northern track, we'll get a bunch of snow. Last night it was 6 to 12 inches. And this morning it turned south. And now we're going to get 1 to 2 inches. My question is, I hope I can phrase it, is I know there are tons of variables involved in, you know, when they say, oh, this pressure system out east stalled. Why is it stalling? And what would you say are the main variables in why the weathermen and women are able to say, well, we can push it, you know, it may push 20 miles north or 20 miles south.
Yeah, that's a good question.
And you guys should be on more than once a month.
Well, I don't want to be on daily like Larry, that's for sure. No, that's a good question. And we're seeing that with this storm, right? Because you're right. I mean, it was over the weekend, they were talking about 6 inches here in southern Wisconsin, maybe even more. But now the whole storm shifts, the whole storm track looks further south, and so we may not get any. And so what's driving that, the track of these storms is basically the jet stream. So as the jet stream may develop a loop in it or dive further south, then it'll drag the storm down with it as well. So it's understanding the three-dimensional structure of the atmosphere. The upper atmosphere winds in particular move those systems around to determine where they're going to go.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Thank you, Dan. Appreciate it. Andy in Mount Horeb, your turn. Hi, Andy.
Yeah, hi. A number of years ago, we were driving down to Tennessee, and just south of Rochelle, Illinois, it started to cloud up, and we saw in a two-mile stretch, we saw the temperature drop 17 degrees.
Wow.
And then the sky just opened up, and we had hail and heavy rain, and we actually had to pull over. It was raining so hard.
Yeah, I'll bet that was outflow from a thunderstorm. Because thunderstorms, you'll get these gust fronts, we're called, and as the air is sinking from up above, as it enters the air below, if there's precipitation, that evaporates and that further cools it, and then it hits the ground and splashes out. And we oftentimes feel that even if you're just standing outside. But 17 degrees, that's a big drop.
That's yeah, a big 2 miles.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Well, I was thinking about the interstate system, from say Wisconsin and all out east or going east. Somebody told me once on the show that if they'd have moved that system about a mile and a half further south, they would have avoided all kinds of problems with snow and storms.
Oh yeah, yeah. Particularly when you get to Ohio, and I'm not.
Yeah,
yeah, Ohio. Yeah, you get the snowfall from the Great Lakes. It's just like, why are you going right by?
Why didn't somebody think of that? Why didn't somebody think of that? It's just an amazing thing. Well, it's always fun to talk weather and climate with Steve Ackerman. I enjoy it every time he's on the air. I always enjoy seeing Sarah Jacobs as well. She with her elbow that lets me know when it's going to rain. Not so much on the snow. She's not very accurate when it comes to snow.
Yeah, well, that is a tougher forecast.
It's tougher. There's I don't know if it's tingling more that happens when it's raining hard. But it's just not there. But she is here to talk not about her elbow, but to talk with you about our winter member drive. Your support right now is so important, powers the programs that keep you in the know and entertained, doesn't it, Sarah?
Indeed it does. And, you know, if you think about rain, it could mean a number of things right now. Our donors have been making it rain, supporting Wisconsin
right.
Public Radio.
Is that why you were holding on to
yeah,
your elbow?
It's aching so much, actually, because folks are really stepping up and showing their support. And it's so important because that is how WPR works. The people who use it are the largest source of funding for it. You've been meaning to give. I know you have. Do it now on this last day of the drive at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And especially because the Merle Gunther Memorial Fund is established, and it's remembering a generous listener, an avid Badger fan, and they are donating an additional $100 when you give. I don't care what the amount is, $50, $100, or whatever it is. Maybe it's $1,000. They're going to add another $100 this hour. So you can increase the impact of your support for the programs that you enjoy when you give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And you know, this hour so far, Steve has walked us through a number of scientific concepts that really affect our lives in an accessible and an engaging way, that speak to lay people as well as scientists alike. And that's really one of the gifts of the Ideas Network, delightful learning that enriches your life. And it's all possible because of you. Listeners are the single largest source of support for Wisconsin Public Radio. And so that means when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many more hours possible. Choose an amount that works for you. Whatever it is, that's the right amount. And you can just take a few minutes now to make that gift.
And you can get the brand new cozy and stylish WPR hat. You can say, I've got a hat just like Larry's got. Well, I haven't gotten it yet, but it's on the way. It's made in the USA, as a matter of fact, right here in Wisconsin. And it's a really cool looking hat. I think if you went online to WPR.org, you're going to see what the hat looks like. It's really nice. support the programs you value, show off your WPR pride wherever you go. And it all starts with a gift of $20 a month at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I've been a public radio listener for as long as it's been around. It's a long time. Public radio for me is pretty much the only kind of radio that that I would choose to listen to. My name is Penny, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for programming I can't get anywhere else.
Thanks, Penny. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution in support of the programs you count on. Larry Mueller here with Sarah Jacobs. Your support today keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong, and maybe your gift is $10 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. We appreciate and we count on your gift.
And now's a particularly wonderful time for that because we've got a great opportunity from the Merle M. Gunther Memorial Fund, remembering a generous listener and avid Badger fan. They'll donate an additional $100 when you give this hour. So that means you can increase the impact of your support for Wisconsin Public Radio. That's when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now is definitely the time. Give right now while you're thinking about it. It just takes a couple of minutes to contribute.
And it'll feel so good to support the programs you love, to follow through on your values, and you can listen with pride. Go ahead and see what that's like right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And keeping in mind that this hour, you will receive an additional $100 from the Merle Gunther Memorial Fund when you donate, at least not you personally, but WPR will. And that's what's important, isn't it? And, you know, there's a great way to do it, get that extra $100 by going to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and increase the impact of your support. Steve Ackerman's going to be with us through the next half hour. John Martin's going to be joining us as well in just a minute or two. If you haven't contributed, please do it right now. It means a lot to me and everybody here at WPR.org. Go to it. And taking a look at weather and climate on the show today, Larry Mueller here with my weather guys, Steve Ackerman and John Martin with us now. John, a professor, as is Steve, in the Department of Atmospheric and Oceanic Sciences at UW-Madison. John, good to see you, by
the way.
Good
to see you, Larry and Steve.
Yeah, it's always good to see both of you guys. And if you have a weather question, you can call in 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. And if you've got some photos, we always love to see those photos. As a matter of fact, we have some coming in from ideas@wpr.org. And let's just take a look at a couple of them. We had been talking earlier about Aurora Borealis, and the place to go if you want to get alerts on when it might be in your area is spaceweatherlive.com. Somebody sent the screen for us, so we've got that. And then one listener, I don't know who, emailed to ask what this cloud formation is called, and it's like a rose.
It's like rose.
Windrose, almost.
If you imagine like a Zen garden, you know, where you drag the rake across the fine sand, you get that up and down. So it's got rose like that. It's called altocumulus undulatus. Mm. And it's the air. It's just going up and down. And where it goes up and peaks, you form a cloud. And where it sinks, the cloud goes away. So you get this really nice structure. And that's it's a big part of
that's
the sky.
A big
there.
That's
right.
A cool one because it's got a spine in it too that connects some of the long rolls, which is really cool.
Yeah. So there's another one. Another listener emailed a picture with some clouds. The ones higher up in the sky are light in color. The ones below are dark and heavy. What's the difference in cloud?
I think it's all about the altitude and the fact that the sun is going below the horizon.
Yeah.
And so the ones that are up high are lit by the sun, and the ones that are down low aren't getting any light.
Yeah.
And so they're looking darker.
Well, even but a darker cloud, would a darker cloud necessarily sink?
No. So this is just a different,
Yeah, just different elevations.
Yeah.
Just and you'd see, if you saw the movie of this, you'd see them. You'd see the lower clouds probably scooting along at a different direction and speed than anything going on at the upper level, most likely too. Yeah. It can be even more dramatic in movie.
Yeah.
Well, and we have one more. It looks almost like a tornado, but I think that's a function of how the photo was taken, maybe. But it,
I think it's just a long cloud, straight line cloud.
But it looks like a tornado.
But it looks like
it
a tornado. It has some spin on it, and it's like a railroad tracks. You know, they're parallel, but
there's
as they go to the
point.
Horizon, the vanishing point, and that vanishing point hits the Earth's surface. Yeah. So it looks like a tornado coming
out.
Cool. It's really a really neat photo.
Yeah, very neat. Thanks for sending that in. We got to get the names of those folks so I can give them proper credit when they do send something like that in. Well, some parts of the state are expecting a lot of snow.
Yeah, that's
right. Some aren't. And there's been a change, too, in where the snow's falling.
It's bounced back and forth for more than a week now. I think the first time I took notice of this particular event was last Monday. I guess it was a whole week ago, where at the time it looked like there were forecasts that were saying, you know, it's 7 days at the time, but they were saying 20.4 inches of snow for Madison, which would have broke our all-time single-day record. But and then they backed off from that late in the week, and we're kind of hovering around 4 to 6 inches for us and more in other locations. Now, we're on the northern periphery of the snow band, and it looks like we might get about 2 or 3, but places like Racine might have 12, and Milwaukee might have as many as 8 or 10. And then northern Illinois and parts of eastern Iowa, same kind of thing. So it's going to be a pretty big event for some locations, and some of them in our state, as you point out.
And northern Wisconsin's not going to get...
No, not out of this storm, no. That's right. Yeah. But then
they'll get theirs eventually.
They will. I mean, it's going to get cold behind this thing, so there'll be some renewed lake effect snow probably later in the week, places further north. Oh. But I don't know how much.
Are they getting more confident in where that location is going to be of the storm track?
You know, I was just telling somebody this morning, I'm not going to be really confident until Tuesday morning myself because it's been so fluctuating.
So when you get up and look out the window?
Well, no. It won't be quite that bad, but close to it. And, I don't fault the forecasters. This is just, it's a really weird set of circumstances that is not at all unprecedented. We have a disturbance that was cut off the California coast, completely orphaned from the westerlies on Friday. And that thing meanders slowly to the east like a drunken sailor. And then it's element number one in the storm. And then there's another thing that's not so well resolved by last weekend that's kind of over northern Alaska and the British Columbia coast. Now it's getting better resolved in terms of the observations over North America. So it's only now that we really see where these two things are and in what kind of disposition they present to each other. And so it's going to be a short-term success, but it has not been a long-term success in the forecast because so much unpredictability on some of these things. Yeah. Really interesting.
Somebody else wondered, now this, well, I guess it relates. When we go outside in the morning, there's the actual temperature and then what it feels like temperature. How is that measured and what factors go into it?
I think the feels like temperature is probably the wind chill, isn't that right?
It's the wind chill.
Yeah, okay. Right,
essentially. And then somebody changed it.
It sounds a little more folksy now, less clinical. Yeah. But it's the notion that when there's wind moving across your skin, you can lose heat. At a rate that would be the equivalent of still air loss of heat at a temperature of minus 15 or whatever it might be. So that's they try and make an equivalence of ventilation heat loss versus just straight up heat loss because you're much warmer than the air.
That's based now on a thermodynamic budget of a body.
Which is much more accurate, right, than the old days?
It's more than the old days when it was a bucket and a thermometer down in Antarctica, I think.
Yeah.
And they just correlated.
And the Navy did it originally,
didn't they? How fast it cooled down.
How'd you like to be the guy who had that job? Okay, well, I have a thermometer and I stick it in a bucket and
I got to come out 2 minutes later and see how cold it is and measure the wind speed.
I'll say this safely: it's better than any committee work I've ever done.
Francisco in Sister Bay, Wisconsin. It's your turn. Hi, Francisco.
Yes, I listened to this on the radio. That the farmers in Mexico were very mad at Volkswagen, a big enterprise over there, because they were diverting, VW was diverting the water to another location, and the farmers were complaining that their crops were going to be lost. I haven't heard anything more, but does the United States have the capacity or technology or know-how to divert water patterns?
Divert the rain you were talking about.
Yeah, I wouldn't say the rain pattern for sure, but Yeah, no, we don't have
but
that.
But flow out of the Colorado into the ocean and into parts of Mexico and tributaries, we have some control over that. I don't know if that would be part of the equation. But, yeah, there's cloud seeding and redirecting weather systems is all fabulous stuff. It's not, it doesn't really work.
So if Volkswagen knew how to do that,
they'd be doing more than making cars.
They certainly would be doing more than making cars.
Yeah,
that's correct.
They'd be doing a lot more. But I think it's you know, sometimes things like that get started and rumors
and
or
then,
whatever.
Right,
But I bet it's water from another source.
I wouldn't be at all surprised if
an international company like that would kind of rule it over local farmers, and they would do it in a different way.
Right? Yeah. Yep, there you go. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Well, let's see. There was something from VW, weather-altering tech causes storm in Mexico. Carmaker rolls back on hail-busting cannons after farmers say they sparked a drought. That's the story that we're seeing on.
I hadn't heard of it, but
I mean, that's something that goes back to the 20s.
Even earlier, in France in the 1880s, they had these hail cannons. Right? Yeah, it's just unbelievable.
But they don't work.
No.
The amount of energy in a storm is just unbelievable.
Yeah.
You've done those calculations of like how much an inch of precipitation.
Just for the latent heat release.
Yeah.
You're not even thinking about the kinetic energy of the moving objects themselves. It's just enormous.
Yeah,
you can't. Sound waves are not really that powerful.
Yeah. So there you go, Francesco. Thank you, though, for calling. And I think we have put that rumor bed to rest.
Mm-hmm. Or at least to further investigation.
Right, or to later next week.
Yeah.
Hey, the solar orbiter was launched on February 7th, wasn't it?
First week of February.
Yeah. 10 scientific instruments, including tools to measure the electromagnetic characteristics of the solar wind.
Hmm.
Yeah, and
it's a solar wind, by the way.
The solar wind is corona discharges. You know, it's a ball of gas, and so energy comes ripping out. It what causes the northern lights we were talking about earlier.
Is that what causes them?
Yeah. What's really interesting about this mission, as I understand it, is the other missions that we've looked at that have studied the sun have looked at the sun from like where Earth is. So we haven't gone to the poles, the top and the bottom of the sun. And so this satellite is going to go around the top and the bottom of it and see a whole part of the sun we haven't seen yet, which is pretty fascinating. And from what I understand, I was just reading this over the weekend again, is that a lot of these corona discharges of solar winds, the powerful ones, may be coming out of the polar regions of the sun.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, we saw all manner of interesting things in the gas giants in the solar system at their poles, Jupiter and Saturn.
Yeah.
We did not expect those
things. Not know anything
about
it, right.
And there's only some vague similarities between the sun and those giant gas planets, but who knows?
And once you observe it, then you got to look at the theory of what causes it, and then that improves the forecasting of new solar wind events and things like that.
And they can cripple, you know, computer networks and satellite networks, and we're all dependent on those now, so we need to have better forecasts of those things.
Well, just some more on that fake news here. The German car maker had installed hail cannons, which fire shockwaves into the atmosphere at its Pueblo site to prevent the formation of ice stones that had been damaging finished vehicles parked outside its facility.
I can understand the motivation for them to want to do something about hail, but I wouldn't have invested in those operations.
I've got a couple of cannons to sell them.
Yeah, right.
Here's Joe, the hail cannon guy. Here for a couple of million bucks, I can. Yeah.
The damage of a hailstone when it hits a car lot like that must be.
Oh, it's extraordinary.
Huge,
private weather companies in our country are filling the gap because the Weather Service has no obligation to tell, you know, the assembly plant down in Belvedere that you got to get your lot cleared. Private companies can usurp that and then charge for that. And, it's a lot of money.
And that's probably why there are private weather companies out there.
It's one of the reasons, it certainly is.
Wow. Well, you know, it's the start of the show. I mentioned geoengineering just sort of as a little tease here, and then we haven't said a word about it the whole time. So you wrote about this in your blog, geoengineering. Talk about what is it and so forth.
So geoengineering is earth engineering. And, you know, we might be able to argue that what we were just talking about, weather modification, is geoengineering.
Or an attempt at it.
Or an attempt at it, right.
Sure.
But the term has now really been applied to what can humans do intentionally to try and keep the planet from continuing to warm up.
Yeah.
And so there's been a variety of theories of how you might do that, from putting tiny particles up in the stratosphere to reflect solar energy out, or mirrors up in space to reflect solar energy out, or change the particle size distributions in big cloud fields to make them brighter. And again, those are examples where if the Earth is warming, well, the theory is let's let less solar energy be incepted by the Earth and heat it up. But again, if you go to the economics gets pretty extraordinary of how you would do those three things I just gave
Plus
you.
Plus, the hubris is off the charts. Yeah, I mean, right. We couldn't even build an unsinkable ship in 1912, as much as we ballyhooed about it, and 1,000 people lost their lives. Right. We can't geoengineer the planet again. We've already done it.
We've done 416
parts per million.
Too,
right?
we're doing it kind of the wrong way.
Yeah, blindly. And I don't think we can do it much better by pretending we're not blind about it. It's too many unintended consequences downstream.
So it's going to be cold tomorrow?
Yes. colder than
He's
today.
Confident about that. Right?
Colder than today. See, we can say that with confidence, and it's going to snow tomorrow too. That'll be true for most people listening, I guess. Certainly south of Madison, and including Madison. So it'll be kind of a wintry day after a splendid weekend. It's a little bit of a slap in the face.
Yeah,
a electricity weekend.
Well, on that slap in the face, I will say thanks to you guys. It's always great. Always fun to have the weather guys come by. John Martin, Steve Ackerman. Professors in the Department of Atmospheric and Oceanic Sciences at UW-Madison. And our other weather expert, at least her elbow is Sarah Jacob. And she's here with me to talk with you about, here we are, the last 9 minutes of the drive for the Larry Mueller Show. So it's your last chance, at least during this program, to contribute during our largest source of funding, you know, comes from you. That's why your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 is so important.
It sure is. And if you've already renewed or make ongoing monthly gifts as a sustainer, thank you so much. And I just want to take a moment and pause because during the Larry Mueller Show so far, we have heard from almost 100 donors, listeners who've stepped up to make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. So thank you so much. Listeners who renew and monthly sustainers are the backbone of WPR.
So if you haven't given yet, you can join thousands, really, of other WPR members by donating. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And you might not know that some high schools and colleges actually use WPR programs as part of their curriculum. It's because educators recognize that students can learn a lot about current events, great books, history, and so much more from listening to these discussions on the Ideas Network.
As a matter of fact, that happens a lot. I know even with Master Gardeners mm-hmm. get continuing education credits for listening to Garden Talk on Fridays. So you know what? Your gift can make a big difference. We are an educational resource, but we have a lot of fun doing it. It's available throughout the state and beyond. And you have a powerful, lasting influence when you support these programs with a gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And as a little extra bonus, this member drive, we have an exciting drawing for a $500 travel agency gift card. And you'll have 5 chances to win. No contribution is necessary, and you can see all the details at WPR.org/drawing. Or better yet, you're automatically entered when you make a donation of any amount right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I think we have a reputation here at WPR for quality and for substance and also for having fun. We always have a lot of fun on this program. Your contributions in the past have gotten us to where we are today, really, and your gift will take this kind of strength into the future.
It's so true. Your dollars give Wisconsin Public Radio the means to keep that quality and fun and substance that you count on, that nourishes you, that enhances your day. And it's all possible with your support that makes our programs possible every day. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio is your radio source. It might be the one that wakes you up in the morning, rides with you on your commute, keeps you company during the day.
And the beauty of WPR is that you get to decide how much to pay for the programs you enjoy. It's completely your choice. Many first-time donors give $100 or $10 a month, but you pick the amount that's right for you.
You know, I went to a restaurant in my neighborhood for lunch on Saturday, mm-hmm. and I sat down and I ordered, and there was a couple sitting right next to me, and they were from, I think, Barneville. No, I knew I'd get that wrong. Anyway, they recognized my voice and talked about listening to Wisconsin Public Radio, listening to this program and so many of the programs on the air, and I had planned to do some reading for a book that's coming up next week. But you know what? It was a lot more fun to sit and talk with them and to hear the really very kind words that they had to say about this show, but also about Wisconsin Public Radio in general. It's just a wonderful resource. And your gift, along with donations from those folks and a lot of other listeners, add up to our largest source of funding. So you can join the team right now, join them, and make your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
At Wisconsin Public Radio, we ask you to decide how much to give. And no matter what you choose, you get 24 hours a day of news, talk, music, and entertainment in return. That's a great deal. Where do you wish you could get that kind of deal?
Just about anywhere. My education, a vacation, or anything really I could think about spending I wish I could choose to pay.
Oh, beer?
A great Italian meal.
During this pledge drive, we ask you to contribute as generously as you can. And, unlike with other things, you'll always be the one to decide how much to give.
That's right. You can give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Make your contribution. Larry Mueller here with Sarah Jacobs. Listener support's the biggest source of funding for our programs, the ones that you rely on. And that's why your support during this winter member drive is so important. And your gift might be $10 a month. It might be $100 a month. It might even be $200 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
And you can join Stephen and Madison, who said, I just started listening to WPR recently and am so impressed by the focus on issues I find fascinating and worthwhile. I'm a listener for life now. Thank you so much, Stephen, for your support. How about you? Why don't you join Stephen? And you know what? Giving to WPR is super easy, too. All we need is your name, your contact information, the amount of your gift, and how you'd like to pay.
Just takes 2 minutes. I can guarantee it, having done it myself here just recently. And those few minutes fund, those 2 minutes can fund your daily listening. Your support right now really makes a difference at WPR.org. We're at 888-202-2552.
And when you make that gift, everyone should make the gift that works for them. And for you, that might be a gift of $1 or $200 a month.
Everyone should make the gift that works for them. That's exactly right. And maybe that's what you pay for cable or for your family phone plan. Listening to WPR is something you do every day. Put a value on it, like all the other things that are important to you. And when you get that value, go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. I'm really hoping we get at least one more person here, Sarah.
I think we will. And I do want to put a special shout-out thank you to our sustaining members and to everyone who's given so far this drive. You've made such a difference. And if you haven't given, you still have time, but not much. This show is almost over, and our winter member drive ends at 7 o'clock. So make your gift of support right now. The important thing, whatever the amount is, it's right for you. That's the important thing. And then you make the commitment right now to support the programs you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We've almost met our goal in terms of numbers of people to contribute. There's one more person. Why don't you be that one more person and make the contribution to support the programs you count on? It's really easy to do. You just go to WPR.org or go ahead and phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. I really want to thank you if you've already contributed. If you haven't done it, this would be just a wonderful time to do it. Again, go to WPR.org or phone 888 202-2552. I'm Larry Mueller with Sarah Jacobs. Thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots more in store on the Ideas Network.